Republicans approved four bills in the state assembly that would affect transgender students. It's Friday, March 21st. This is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Hope Kerwin. Coming up, an elected official in Dane County says she's resigning from her seat because she couldn't afford the rent in downtown Madison. And March Madness is taking over Fiserv Forum this weekend. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
The Wisconsin State Assembly passed four bills yesterday aimed at the transgender community. As Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, they reflect actions also taken by President Donald Trump's administration.
Wisconsin Republicans voted to approve bills that would bar trans minors from some gender-affirming health care and bar students born male from playing on female school sports teams. Republicans like Chuck Wickers of Muskego argue it's a matter of biology, not politics.
I'm here to say what we all know. Boys are bigger, faster, stronger than girls.
Democrats who oppose the bills describe them as hateful and as solutions searching for a problem. President Trump has signed executive orders to accomplish similar goals. But Wisconsin Republicans have passed bills like these before, and Governor Tony Evers has vetoed them before. He says he'll continue to veto any bill that he sees as restricting LGBTQ rights. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A Dane County supervisor says rising housing costs have pushed her to step down from her elected position. Supervisor Elizabeth Doyle submitted her resignation to the county board this week. She currently represents much of downtown Madison near the state capitol. But she says rents in that district have become unsustainable. She says that's a problem faced by many of her constituents.
Wage increases are not kind of keeping up with housing increases. And also, I know even before the pandemic, we were way behind in the area of having supply keep up with demand for housing.
Median rent in Madison has grown 40% over the last decade, and more than half of renters there are considered cost burdened. Doyle recently bought a house in Southeast Madison and is in the process of moving. A special election will determine her replacement on the county board. Microsoft has paused construction again on portions of its planned data center campus in Mount Pleasant on the former Foxconn site. The company is on track to finish the first phase of the campus by 2026, but on the 900-acre remainder of the site, it has paused preliminary work twice, once in January and again now. Sean Ryan is the communications director for the Village of Mount Pleasant. He says property tax income from the first phase will be more than enough to compensate the village for its subsidies to the project.
The data center will also create significant property value that is expected to surpass the amount that Microsoft committed to in its agreement with the village.
In that agreement, Microsoft didn't promise to start building the project's second phase until July 2030. The company's spokesperson wouldn't specify the reason work was stopped again. Milwaukee is playing host to the first and second rounds of the men's NCAA college basketball tournament this weekend. Evan Casey has more from March Madness at Fiserv Forum.
An estimated 19,000 Hoops fans are expected to travel to the city to watch the tournament. That includes Iowa State fan Michael Bryant, who is watching the team practice Thursday.
We got our rooms booked till Monday. That means we got to win both games.
Eight teams are in Milwaukee for the event. University of North Carolina guard Seth Trimble is from Menomonee Falls. He says he's excited to play Friday.
Finally playing Milwaukee. You know, I've never played a college game here. And it's always been a dream of mine, and I'm just glad that I can finally make that come true.
Jackie Perrette is a manager at the German restaurant Mater's, which is right next to Fiserv Forum.
It's great for us, it's great for the economy, it's great for Milwaukee.
The first round at Fiserv Forum starts Friday, while the second round is on Sunday. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Just ahead, national surrogates are coming to Wisconsin, and the state Supreme Court race is smashing fundraising records. The WPR politics team has a look at a state race that's gone national. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
The April 1st Wisconsin Supreme Court election is drawing near, and there are growing signs that people in Wisconsin and throughout the nation are paying attention. WPR reporters Anya Van Wagtendonk and Rich Kramer spoke to Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson about how the campaign is ramping up.
Rich and Anya, I know we live in Wisconsin and see the world through that lens, but it sure seems like the national spotlight is shining on our court race right now between Democratic-backed Judge Susan Crawford and Republican-backed Judge Brad Schimel. Rich, we had a little 2024 deja vu this week when a campaign surrogate came to town. Why was Minnesota Governor Tim Walz in Eau Claire?
It was a strong sense of deja vu because Walz was in Eau Claire months ago as presidential candidate Kamala Harris's pick for vice president. So he was back in the city for a few reasons. He was there to rally Wisconsin Democrats behind Crawford. He was there to attack Wisconsin Republican Congressman Derek Van Orden, who's a top target for the party in 2026. And he was also there to highlight Democrats need to be more aggressive.
And so, like you said, he wasn't just there to talk about the Supreme Court race, but he mentioned it in the context of what's happening in Washington with President Donald Trump's administration. Let's give a quick listen to what he said.
We have to take this like you do cleaning the house or whatever, one chunk at a time. And America's first chunk of cleaning is Wisconsin Supreme Court, April 1st. So,
let's and Rich, from what I gather, Tim Walz actually didn't mention Susan Crawford and Brad Schimel by name, but it sounds like he mentioned Elon Musk a lot.
He sure did. In fact, he was standing in front of a giant screen that said People versus Musk. It's part of the Wisconsin Democratic Party's statewide town hall tour, essentially claiming Musk is trying to buy Schimel off in order to have control over the Supreme Court. Walz used some choice words to describe Musk that I cannot repeat on air, but I can say that Walz referred to Musk as a, quote, South African Nepo baby, insinuating that Musk's wealth is due to his parents.
So Democrats believe Elon Musk is a powerful motivator for their base, but he is a powerful funder for Republicans. Anya, he has financial ties to two political action committees that have been busy in Wisconsin this year. How much of a presence have they had in our court race?
Yeah, so there's the Building America's Future PAC, of which Musk is one of the major donors, and then there's just America PAC, and that one is Musk. So far, those groups have spent more than $14 million in this race on things like TV ads and direct mailers, and they've also gotten attention for their pretty consistent messaging over the last little bit about either vote Schimel because he'll advance the Trump agenda, or vote Schimel because Crawford goes against the Trump agenda. So in other words, a lot of the Musk money is going towards linking Schimel with Trump and, as Rich has reported for us, sort of courting that needed Trump base for Schimel.
So that is a lot of money from two PACs. What does that look like in the context of overall court spending?
Yeah, it seems to be going up by the minute. But as of the latest WisPolitics tally, spending has reached at least $76 million. For a little bit of context, 2 years ago in the last big Wisconsin Supreme Court race, that race shattered national historical spending records at about $56 million.
And of course, all of this at the end of the day is about getting votes. And voting has already begun in Wisconsin through absentee voting and early in-person voting. Rich, you looked at the very preliminary numbers there. These are going to change every day for the next couple weeks, but what'd you find?
I found that turnout on Tuesday, which was the first chance for Wisconsinites to cast their early in-person absentee ballots, was about 121% higher than the same day in 2023. What I also found was that some Republican counties that didn't see a lot of in-person or early voting in 2023 have kind of turned it around. One example is Washington County. Early voting this year up almost 300% compared to 2 years ago. So obviously, we have both parties out working hard to get their supporters to bank their votes ahead of April 1st.
That was WPR's Rich Kramer and Anya Van Wagtendonk. They spoke with WPR's Sean Johnson. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm Hope Kerwin. Our reporters today were Mallory Chang and Rob Menser. We'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a great weekend.